The first level of consciousness is the level we all know when we are children. It's anamaya, and it translates, I am because I eat. The little baby is maybe totally disturbed because the mother is absent, and it cries, or the baby has maybe had a bad dream, or the cat in the room jumped into the little cradle and upset the little baby. But when the mother comes and breastfeeds the little baby, the baby begins to smile and make sounds of happiness. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Because for the little baby, the consciousness is rooted to this identification with the material body, and when the body is well fed and well has enough to drink, when it's nourished, the baby is all right, it's happy. You may laugh, but many human beings, grown-up human beings, are on a similar platform. When something is not right in their life, they go to the refrigerator and eat cream cheese and apple crumble. I'm at the moment a guest of wonderful hosts who make sure that every minute in my life there is something to eat or drink. That's a certain level of concern. And it's the beginning level of our spiritual, of our journey. I am because I eat. I had an aunt, Tante Anke. That's a German name, I know. Whenever she was disturbed, she went to that refrigerator and plundered it and thought, now life is all right. That was her way of solving the situation, because her identity was rooted in the body. Now, the next level is a little bit different. It's called pranamaya in Sanskrit. And here a person is more identified with his or her activities. When you ask such a person, who are you? He will say, I'm a musician or a sportswoman or a counselor or something which links the sense of identity to prana or the activities which go on. These are people who are identified still with the body, but who focus very much on actions. Often these people are workaholics, if you know what that is, who are happy when they work or when they do something, because it gives them a sense of identity. And they become totally depressed and useless when there is no longer anything to do in their life. Now, the next level of consciousness is called Vijnanamaya. Here a person identifies with his thought processes. If you ask them, who are you? He will say, I'm a communist, or I'm a free thinker, or I'm a democrat, and so on. Here a person is more identified with the mind and its endless variation and endless interpretations and endless identification. As you go higher in your spiritual evolvement or in your inner growth, you come to the level of Vijnanamaya. The third level was Jnanamaya. I am what I think. And then fourth level is Vijnanamaya. I am because I am. On this level, a human being is slowly disidentifying. I hope it's an English word, but I I'm sure you will understand what I want to say. Or detaching himself or herself from the body and the mind. The body is hungry, the body is active, the mind thinks a lot. But a person on this fourth level wants to understand, who am I beyond the body and the mind? This is a little bit what we tried to do in the first part of this program, where we really wanted to detach ourselves from the body and the mind through this guided meditation. No? It's called Vijnana Maya. It's what yogis are interested in, and what more and more people in the Western world have come to appreciate, who go to self-improvement courses, yoga courses, who start their day maybe with a meditation CD, and so on and so forth. They really want to stop the illusion. The illusion where the self is identified with body and mind. And the final level of understanding, it is called self-realization, is in Sanskrit named as Anandamaya. Anandamaya is a concept whereby you can find your rest in God. You connect with God, you connect, in my tradition, with Krishna. That's the name I am accustomed to. Through this connection, this divine consciousness, or this higher consciousness, you are acting on the spiritual level. In Anandamaya, we don't see ourselves any longer as the body and the mind. We observe the body and we observe the endlessly changing mental processes. But on this fifth level, we are not identified and not disturbed by it. Not even the time of death poses a difficulty for us. I'm very much moved at this time of my life, because my long-term secretary left her body, and I was there to assist her consciousness, you know, to read things, to sing to her, to accompany her on that last journey in this body. And she had asked me to write a poem to all the people whom she would leave behind, but who had relationships, affectionate relationships with her. And I wrote this poem, from her perspective, how she would see all these people whom she left. And I know her since 20 years, so we talked a lot, and I thought this would be the best way to express her friends, to use a poem which started like this: "Don't cry. When you see me with a pale face in a coffin, then don't cry. Do you cry when the shell of an oyster breaks and the pearl finally rolls free? Do you cry when the long struggle is finally over and the butterfly leaves the dead cocoon? This is only another evening of my life. Soon the sun will rise for another birthday." So a person on that Anandamaya platform, on the platform where he or she is connected with God, is not even disturbed when the physical body is cremated. Such a person is living in a higher connection and has severed the lower connections. So I see it, Sandipani Krishna, your face shows time is also there. Am I reading your face properly? You might ask, I will now come to an end. Sometimes it's difficult to keep times. You might ask how to get to this higher platform. I think this will be the subject matter of many more meetings here. It will be here in this venue, wonderful venue, where you can learn more about Bhakti Yoga, the yoga of connecting through devotion with that higher level. But for here, I just want to say, there is one process which I would like to introduce you to. It is singing the names, the beautiful names, the powerful names of the Lord, together with other people, and just connecting the consciousness with the sound vibration of these names. These names are so, let us say, so much imbued with this spiritual power that they can detach us from the wrong identifications with body and mind, and can bring us to the higher level of consciousness. And the example which is given is that most of people's heart is closed like a closed lotus flower, you know, where the petals are over each other, are crossing each other. But when you hear the divine names, that closed hearts, those closed hearts open, and the sense of eternity becomes free. The soul discovers itself as a part of God. It's almost like when the moon rays come to the lotus flower and shine on the lotus flower, and then the lotus flower opens, and opens and opens by the power of the moon rays. So one process in Bhakti Yoga, there are many other processes, is chanting the divine names. And because we have Gaura Hari with us, who is the leader of the Gaura Hari Bhajan band, it's at least in the Balkans a famous music band, we will sing together. We have brought two mantras for you. Oh, wonderful. And you can turn in this direction. I need to find my instinct here. And the way it goes is, I think you all know by now, I will sing the first part of it, and then I will sing this mantra, and then you repeat it, then I sing it again, and you listen, and then you repeat it, and I listen. It's in German language, ein Wechselgesang, if that makes any sense to you, changing, huh? So, it's not a difficult thing. You can just look occasionally. No need to look all the time, otherwise you get a stiff neck, and that would be not such a good way to end such a good program on yoga, on Bhakti Yoga. So just catch up the names and then do.